are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting, sadly. Well, I mean, I'm happy to be here, and I'm doing comedy shows at the River Center in San Antonio, but I really, really would have loved to have been in Springfield with many of our favorites on Pretty Late, including our guest on the line right now, Representative Sarah Feigenholz. How are you doing, Representative?
Oh, I'm doing great, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. We chatted briefly through Facebook. I messaged you to see if you'd come on, and one of the things that you told me was that you got emotional today. Tell me how your day started. The moments leading up to the president's address.
Well, you know, I think the word is palpable. You know, here's a person who many of us who've been there a while have. Had a long experience with him as a state lawmaker, watching him ascend to the U.S. Senate, and then, of course, to the presidency in, like, kind of the blink of an eye. And, and here he is coming back full circle to the place he announced nearly a decade ago, almost to the day. And the excitement at the Capitol was, I mean, you know, like I said, palpable. People were just extraordinarily patient. Although there were a lot of people, a lot of buzz around here. People were just really anxious, got in their seats early, and were waiting to see the president speak. And there was a lot of really good energy in the room.
And was he addressing the General Assembly from the Senate or from the House of Representatives?
From the House, too.
It's a bigger room, correct?
Correct. So the Senate was there, and the galleries were full, both the Speaker's Gallery and the Visitor's Gallery.
I've had a chance to listen to most of the speech. I've been traveling all day, so I'm only 15 minutes away from the end. But as you mentioned, you had been there for quite some time, and he talked a little bit about some of the first bills he worked on being hazed. Is that something that happened to you at all? Because he talked about how he was asked on his bill whether or not they wanted to know what if his name was Irish, which I was kind of taken aback by that the time would be spent, you know, considering like the kind of the things that we're going through right now. It does seem like you guys do need to bring some levity to the hard work that you do. And he addressed that. Did you get hazed when you started?
Oh, yes. No, I think every freshman legislator goes through the quote-unquote first bill haze. I did. Mm-hmm. I have a very distinct memory of my hazing because I was so flustered I forgot to vote on my own first bill.
Oh, no. That sticks with you, doesn't it? Just a little bit.
Well, it's funny because most legislators like have one roll call that is passed around for autographs. I have two because the gentleman in the chair felt that we should call it up again so I could vote for my own first bill. So I have two first bill signatures. But, you know, it was great to hear the president like go full circle and remember his experiences in Springfield that so many of us went through with him. I mean, he ticked off two or three bills that I was a sponsor of in the House when he was one in the Senate. And, you know, just a very, very special day, very special message to have an Illinois son come back, the president of the United States, to speak to us. It was just very, very special day.
Well, one of the things he addressed was that his experience in the Illinois legislature informed the way he tried to work with individuals from both sides of the aisles, whether they agreed or disagreed. And he expressed frustration with the direction and his disappointment with his own ability to help, you know, improve the tone of politics. And, you know, we, of course, in the last year have kind of come to a standstill when it comes with the budget. What was the atmosphere like after his address, kind of, both sides of the aisle, it seemed, in his address?
You know, I think people were deep in thought. I don't think that there could have possibly been one member, no matter what side of the aisle that they were sitting on, who didn't process what he had said and how important the message is. People have to realize that you know, because of what we're seeing in politics and the polarization that he described, that a lot of people just feel invisible, like they can't even push a pencil across the desk. And part of that is because of the partisan rhetoric, because the lack of congeniality and civility. I mean, he used some pretty organic words in his comments. I'm hoping that his words resonated with people today, and that they can carry it with them, and hopefully embody some of the vision that he put out there for us. I think a lot of us respect this person, respect what he's been through. He has, he's really had a great experience, and he came back and told us about it today and told us, you know, what his goals continue to be and what he will work for long after he's president, I think.
Well, when you talk about respect, that was one of the things that he talked. You know, he talked about how you have to have thick skin, and we act as though, you know, this is the ugliest politics ever been. And he went all the way back to stories about Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln. That if Abraham Lincoln was elected, then rape and adultery and thievery would be encouraged on the streets, and all the different horrible things that are said. Well, how do you handle? Because I saw a Facebook post, whether it was Representative Kifowit posting a selfie with the president behind her and people writing some nasty things about the president. But you yourself have been in office for quite some time. How do you manage to navigate those waters of kind of the ugly language that people hurl at you?
Well, I mean, obviously you try and temper it and, just ask people to have a modicum of civility. Right. There's just going to be some haters out there. And I mean, you know, frankly, you know, it's your Facebook page. You can censor them or not, depending on the subject matter. If it's healthy debate, if people, you know, stay on task and talk to the subject and don't make it personal, you know, you kind of have to referee some of that if it's on your Facebook page.
And that's one of the reasons I started going to Springfield, was to, one, bring the personal story to Springfield, to remind people and bring other parents with me who are raising children with disabilities, whether they're young or adult children who will need lifetime care, because this hit us hard and it hit us fast last April. But it was also because I could talk about what happens in the legislature. I could tell our listeners how they can get involved. And I do want to bring some of our listeners. I want to do a field trip and introduce them, whether it's at your offices in Springfield or in your district offices, to have a conversation, because that was the thing. That was one of the things that jumped out for me from President Obama's speech, was active citizenry. And I think that's participating, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, you can start with doing something very, very simple. I mean, one of the exercises I do, Patty, is I ask people when I walk into a room and they're lobbying me about a bill, I ask them, I just kind of point around the room and say, by the way, who's your state representative? I actually just met with a group of moms this week, and you know, many of them said, well, I can't get this person to call me back, or I'm having really difficulty getting a doctor for my child through this managed care plan. Could you, you know? And I say, well, who's your state rep? And they're like, I really don't know. And many of them are feel victim to a system, but don't participate in the electoral process to change it. And that was another very strong message that we got from the president today about voter participation, and how I think the most poignant line in that conversation was, if 99% of America voted, the 1% wouldn't matter.
Right. Well, and by that, too, because he made a very strong point about, you know, expanding the access to voting, whether it's early voting, making registration. And it was an interesting moment, because he got applause for redistricting from one side, and then he teased them for not also applauding for making registration easier. But that's the thing, is if 40% of the population is voting, you know, And then, but more than that, are disappointed with our politics. Well, you have to be involved. You have to be paying attention and know. And well, here, how do people find out who their representative is? Because you are in the 12th district, and what area you represent?
Well, you know, I represent Lakeview, Lincoln Park, and parts of the near north neighborhoods. But I think it's important for us to possibly put links up on our websites all the time. Do you put your, you know, click here and put your address in? Maybe if we give them some tools to help them know who their elected officials are, we'll help to put the, you know, the first step in front of them. You know, yeah. I think the president laid out a comprehensive, multi-pronged solution to the partisan nature of where we are in politics today, where he talked about the far right, how, you know, the far right and left wings of each party are dominating, and the centrists and the people who want to get to the middle are considered heretics. And he just really, he really did a great job illustrating the current status, not only what's going on in the state of Illinois, but also Illinois, as he said in his speech, is the snapshot of this country. We are, mm-hmm. you know, we
rural,
are
we're urban, state, right?
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I think I left inspired. I left remembering why I was elected to public office and what my purpose is here. It's not about me. It's about the people I represent. And, you know, that's typically what I do. I've always considered this a very humble experience, and I'm very grateful. I'm hoping that a lot of my colleagues feel the same way. I mean, Barack Obama walked into the House chamber today and reminded us why we're here and who we work for, and that the, I believe he quote, I'm not, I don't remember who he quoted because it's really late. But,
no, I know. Well, let's, you get some rest. We are so grateful for your insight.
One of the things that he said that I thought was really poignant is that the public should demand this from us. The public should demand civility and
yes.
leadership and solutions. And I thoroughly endorse that. I believe that he is right. And I'm hoping that perhaps we can get to yes. And that is one thing that I'm hoping that both sides of the aisle, that people will try and get to yes and elect the art of the possible.
There you go. The art of the possible. Thank you so much, Representative Sarah Feigenholz of the 12th District. And we look forward to having you back on the show in just a couple weeks to have continue this conversation and to continue to get people involved. Of course, more after this on 720 WGN.
Troy Murray on Coach Q.
Q is one of the more animated coaches behind the bench, and I think every...
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Sadly, I am broadcasting from the great state of Texas. I'm sad because I would have loved to have been in Springfield with so many of our legislators who I've gotten to know and have become friends of the show, who were present for the President of the United States address the General Assembly. And with us is Leader Lou Lang. Hi, Leader Lou. How are you doing?
Great, Patty. How's Texas?
It was 82 degrees here, so it ain't all that bad. I'll say that much.
Nice.
I might get a pair of boots before I leave.
Bring it back.
I'll do my best. How was your day, sir?
It was a good day. It's a very special day when the President of the United States from your own home state comes to speak to the people from the General Assembly. Obviously, not everybody in the General Assembly is a big fan of Barack Obama, but they listened. He was excellent. He was funny. He was on point. He made some excellent points about civility in government, bipartisanship, and they were well said and well received by most members, I think.
Well, and this was, you know, he just did his State of the Union address, his final State of the Union address a few weeks ago. This seemed to be kind of a state of mind address is what it's, you know, this, what his, these goals of citizen participation and, as you mentioned, civility and the tone and his disappointment with where we're headed, even though politics has been nasty before. But what was the atmosphere like afterwards? Did you get the sense that even though he kind of picked on, and by the way, I did kind of enjoy, and I don't know how it went over, when he picked on Duncan a little bit there. What was the energy like afterwards?
I think the energy was high, maybe more on our side of the aisle than on the GOP side of the aisle. But nevertheless, I think everyone appreciated that he was there. Everybody took his message in, and we'll see if it has an impact. I don't think he uttered any magic words that are going to put our budget right together immediately or change a lot of minds. But the president indicated that even as tough as Washington has been, he's had some accomplishments. And all of those accomplishments had to be done in a bipartisan way, and it has to be done that way in Illinois as well. Whether it's on the budget, and whether it's on drug addiction, mental health, whatever the issue is, if we're going to accomplish big things, we have to do it together.
Well, one of the things he mentioned was, you know, you can't bash unions and corporations because they both make our economy run. The men and women who work for the big corporations and the corporations that have the jobs, that there has to be some, you can't slap everybody around. There has to be some sort of compromise. What were your thoughts when he said that?
He's absolutely right. And that goes right to the very core of the discussion of bipartisanship. And so, generally speaking, there's a greater feeling about labor unions on the Democratic side of the aisle. And generally speaking, there's a greater feeling about management and ownership on the Republican side of the aisle. And that's the way it's been, and that's the way it's going to be. But that doesn't mean that we can't recognize that they have to go hand in hand, and picking one over the other is not always a great idea. In fact, it's a recipe for accomplishing very little. Every good thing that we've done has been accomplished by both sides of the aisle together. The president is absolutely right, and it was probably a good idea that he reminded us of that. Now, I don't think he came to Illinois to do this speech simply because we have our own problems today.
I
simply think that it was exactly 9 years to the day that he announced he was running for president. He did that from Springfield. And he thought it was a good opportunity to come back home and maybe start the home stretch of his presidency.
Now, what is what's next? What are you working on this week? Because I know, are you now back in Chicago, or are you or in your district, or are you still in Springfield?
The Senate adjourned for the week, but the House has session tomorrow, and we have committees tomorrow. And members will try to move bills out of committee. But the backdrop to all of this is that we still don't have a budget. We still have a governor who hasn't engaged in the budget process, who has other agenda items that he thinks should come ahead of the budget. And 8 months into no budget, two-thirds of the way into the fiscal year, it's pretty much time to get this done. There are people hurting, suffering, and, whether it be people that need social services or state universities. There's a long list of providers of services that are either closing down or narrowing their programs because of lack of funding.
Well, Leader Lou, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm going to be down there next week, and we'd love to talk to you again. I believe we're having you in studio this month with Representative Sarah Feigenholz, which should be a fun time if you will join us.
Oh, I'm going to do that. Sarah and I are very good friends, and you'll get two people who are not afraid to state their opinions.
Well, I think we have to get a couple people from the other side of the aisle, if not this time, very soon. But get some rest.
It'll be a much longer show if you're going to have four.
We can make that happen. We can make that happen. Get some rest. Good. And as always, thank you so much for your time. And go fix the state, will you?
Thanks, Patty. I'll do my best. Get home safely.
Thank you so much. And after the break, we'll talk to Representative John Cabello. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from San Antonio, Texas. Yeah, you didn't see that coming. I am performing at the River Center Improv, and sad to have missed President Obama addressing the General Assembly. But joining me on the line is Representative John Cabello, who was there. How did it go today, Representative?
It was pretty awesome to watch, I'll tell you. Whether you agree with the president or you don't, just watching the men and women that that serve our country, that travel along with him, and just the show that comes along with the sitting president was pretty awesome.
I have to imagine. I can't, from C-SPAN, I only can see the president. So I did not get to see those moments where perhaps one side of the aisle stood up and the other side didn't. And he kind of teased you guys a little bit for not standing up. And I laughed because I could just imagine. But I don't think it was out of disrespect. I think it's just, you know, there are things that people are going to get, jacked up about. And other people are just going to kind of be like, okay, that's a point, right?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is that we can agree to disagree on some things. I think everybody right. in the chamber was respectful, which is always a
yes.
good thing. But there were some things that I agreed with, and there were some things that I didn't agree with.
Tell me what you didn't agree with. I'm just curious. Do you mind telling me?
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm just a little concerned with we want everybody to vote that can vote, but. We want to make sure that the people that are voting are actual people that can vote.
Right.
You know, there's lots of people that, go to get their driver's license because they know their driver's license is going to expire. We need people to do some personal responsibility kinds of things. And I think if you want to vote, you know when that's coming up. We can maybe make it easier by making it on a Saturday instead of a Tuesday. We can do the early voting things, but I just want to make sure that we're making sure that the people that are going to the polls are the people that deserve to go to the polls.
How much has voter fraud been really a problem? I'm not familiar. I know that it's a joke in Illinois, but I wasn't aware that it continued to be a problem of voter fraud in Illinois.
There is, and what I would really like to see is an independent organization actually do some sort of a study, because we all know that we can skew numbers each way. Let's get somebody that's independent. Let's make sure that if it is happening, let's find ways of making sure that it doesn't, and let's make it easier for the people that can vote.
Well, I think make it easier to register, and I do. Early voting has worked pretty well in Chicago. I think that's an excellent idea. What did you connect with? Would you say the most in his speech?
We need to be more willing to work together.
Yes.
You know, we can disagree, but let's be respectful. If we do disagree, let's have enough to realize that we still need to listen to both or all sides of an issue. We're not experts in every single issue, and it'd be nice if even though some folks think they might be an expert in every single issue, they're not. Let's listen to who has something to say, be respectful if you disagree, and come to a compromise that we can all live with or make sure that we do what's right for the people that we represent.
And do you get the sense, because I've watched some of the back and forth, I generally spend my time in the House of Representatives because you guys make things
exciting.
That's
where the work is done.
That's true. It is. I mean, that was what I noticed last year. And one of the reasons you and I connected, I wanted to reach out to you the day that there was a bill that was on the floor that they didn't allow you to get to stand up and speak. It was they had kind of closed it down, even though you'd been one of the sponsors of the bill. It seemed like a very tense day, and it seemed like someone had gone out of their way to make it sort of personal at the expense of some of the legislators on the Republican side. Is that an accurate description of what happened that day?
Yeah, that was the police reforms bill that was a bipartisan, very good compromise working together bill. I'm still not sure as to what happened. We moved forward. In fact, we moved forward that day. I was pretty upset. But
yes.
Once they brought it back to the floor and we were able to say the good things about the bill and vote the way we wished, we moved forward together.
Because that matters, and that goes to what President Obama was talking about, is that, you know, this was a perfect example of a bill that was bipartisan and had contributions from many people, and it was important. And like I said, it just seemed like something personal had gone down, and it was unfortunate. It seemed icky to me that day, and it seemed like was that sort of symptomatic of things that were going on because of the budget at the time, do you think?
I
know you didn't.
We're all human. I mean,
right.
We get mad at each other sometimes. We got into the mess together. We can get out of the mess together. I know I've said it on your show before. We do great things when we work together. We do horrible things when we work apart. That day, I think there were some folks that may have been a little upset with each other, but we all came together at the end, and we did some pretty good stuff.
And that's what, I believe President Obama was trying to say repeatedly in the speech, was that you can do big things that you can't do alone, is what government is supposed to do. The big things that aren't easy. And I know he touched on a lot of things, too, where he admits to being a progressive liberal. But I think that one of the things that he said in that list of things was, we should measure ourselves by how we take care of our most vulnerable. And that was what brought me to Springfield last year, was the cuts in services that continue to obviously be a problem this year. Do you see any hope for coming to an agreement for any of the budget impasse?
Yeah, I mean, we have to. Like I said, doesn't matter how we got to this point. We should stop pointing fingers. Let's come together. We got into it together. We have to get out together. That's the only way we can
Absolutely.
Do it. I think the president was more talking about national because, I think here in Springfield, we have good people on both sides of the aisle. We have good people that still want to listen to what the other folks have to say. Guess what? The president may be a progressive liberal, but I have progressive liberals in the district that I serve. So I can't just discount what they think and what they believe.
And what's important to families, and I think that's what everyone goes down, is to serve for their constituents and do the work that is important. How can this is the thing that jumped out at me the most, I would say, is citizenry, is being active, voting, communicating with your legislators, being a part of the process. What can your constituents do to be more active, would you say?
Tell me when I'm wrong. Tell me what they believe I should be doing on a certain bill if they do not like the direction I'm going. It's not what I want. It's what 51% of the people want. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Even if I don't like something personally, it's not what I want. It's what the people that elect you want. The only way we know what they want is when they reach out and they tell us. We need to be in tune with our district.
I think that's an excellent point. I think they should also tell you when you're doing the right things, which is, having the conversations with us so that people can hear both sides of the aisle from Springfield. Representative Acabello, thank you so much for your time. I know it's getting late, but I'll see you next week. I'm coming down for the governor's budget address.
I look forward to seeing you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. And again, we thank you for your time. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thank you for tuning in pretty late. Oh, my gosh. Craig, I think I have a twang. Did I develop a twang already? Well, I've just been down here for a day.
Yeah, I heard a
Texas.
Twang. I heard your twang going
a little bit
there.
Of a twang.
Howdy, we're pretty
jealous.
Late, everybody.
Howdy, everybody.
Howdy.
Joining us on the line from the north side of Chicago is Representative Robert Martwick, who was also present at the President of the United States addressing the General Assembly. How are you doing, Representative?
I'm doing great, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. Was it how was your day?
It was I got to witness history being made, so it was pretty fascinating. It was great to be a part of it. It was very exciting.
I think that what I've been struck by the most, and I've tried, there's a couple things I rewind and listen to again, and I know that there are listeners who don't want to hear about politics. I'm aware of that, but so believe in this idea that we have to, that citizens have to participate, that we have to be informed and be able to have a conversation based on empathy and understanding. And I just, that, and that's why I keep talking to our legislators. What struck you the most? What really hit home for you?
Well, you know, it wasn't one particular thing that he said. It was really the nature of the speech. And, you know, of course, because he's a Democrat, there are those who will say, oh, it was a partisan speech. But that really wasn't the case at all. It was a bipartisan speech. And what an incredible position to be at where you know you're done. There's right. No more elections to have. There's not another office to seek. You're done. And he is making a tour telling people, look, this is how we make it better in the future. This is what I think. And, right. You know, his criticism was, or his suggestions were leveled at both sides of the aisle. And I really liked that. You know, people who criticize him don't understand him. You know, I was lucky enough that I got to know him real early on in his career. And he is, despite what anyone might say about him, he is nothing if not sincere, you know, and it was his sincere belief on how we can make, you know, the system work better. And they're sentiments I share.
Right. Well, there were a lot of things that, you know, there was he alluded to the national tone as well. And Representative Cabello mentioned that it seemed to be a lot of that conversation of how, you know, using sort of schoolyard tactics to call someone the worst name, which, by the way, I'm in Texas and I felt bad because there was someone in my audience tonight at the comedy club when I was, you know, some people hadn't heard that candidate Donald Trump had called Ted Cruz, and I have to say the P word because I'm not allowed to say it on the air, but I also can't – I have a hard time saying that word. I had to go over and whisper that word because a woman really wanted to know what word it was. And I was like, if you want me to – I can whisper it to you, but I can't say it into this microphone. And she goes, oh, my goodness, which yeah. should be the appropriate response when a candidate uses that kind of language, don't you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's where the tone has gotten. And you can see it creeping into Illinois politics, too, in the last few weeks. Representative Duncan has had some choice words for the speaker that I think are really below the belt. And I think they pale. I think it's just inappropriate. Governor Rauner was on a tour of the state, and he called out Democrats and with insulting terms, and you know it doesn't help. You know, you don't get to, you'll never get to compromise if you can't start from a sense of mutual respect and civility, and we seem to be losing that, and certainly Donald Trump is the poster child for that. You know, he kind of revels in it, and I think his audience likes it because maybe they would like to say things like he says, and so that small percentage of people out there of the greater population, not certainly of the Republican Party, but he relieves their frustration, right? They'd like
right,
to
and that's what's yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they'd like to stay up at the camp, but there's a guy on the national stage saying the things he'd like to say, and I think his audience likes that, but that's feeding into an instinct that we really shouldn't be feeding into. Not certainly not as leaders, right?
And I think people can say that, but right. I mean, people can say those horrible things. I mean, you know, the idea that that's being, you know, I'm tired of being politically incorrect. I've been saying this for the last few weeks. It's just another way of saying I'm tired of being polite. And you're more than welcome to go ahead and call people names like that. You just aren't going to get very far with your relationships right. And at work. And, you know, you're going to get no fight. But he has a platform where people cheer that kind of language. But when you mention what's going on in the General Assembly in Springfield, is it getting heated? Now, I have to say, I was surprised that the president did single out Representative Duncan and said, I'm going to talk to you later. It was a funny moment. But how did that go over in the room?
Well, and I think the part that you probably wouldn't have heard, or if your listeners, if they were watching, they wouldn't have seen. Remember, the microphones that are picking up the president don't pick up the other things that are being said. So the president made his remark about compromise is, you know, he made a remark about compromise, we shouldn't demonize people who reach across the aisle to try and compromise. And Ken Duncan right. made a comment which caused some laughter. And I think, yeah, it caused some uncomfortable sort of snickering, and of course the Republicans sort of applauded a little bit, to which the, you know, so he sort of called out the president first, and that's
ooh,
part that people
okay.
don't understand, right? I mean, he didn't call him out. He, as Ken Duncan likes to do, he vocally said, yeah, that's me. And in other words, that's what I'm doing, as I'm reaching across the aisle and compromising, which is not what he's doing. And so that was the president's retort was, we'll talk later. I'll talk to you later. You know, it's like we're going back to the woodshed. And he told him to sit down. And of course, that was when everyone erupted in laughter, because what the president was saying, no, that's not what you're doing. You're not reaching across the aisle to compromise, you know. So it's there's a difference.
Yeah, that seemed like a rather awkward moment. And Craig, by the way, please feel free to share any texts that we get to. I know that people maybe think they can't call in and join the conversation, but we encourage you to, which is what I was drawn to so much in the speech, again, was participating. The president mentioned that once he's done next year, he returned to the most important, job, which is being a citizen.
Patty, you asked for some text messages, and we have a very typical one that comes in when we take on these kind of topics from the 773. Patty, have you ever considered running for a political office? I think you'd be fantastic. You would definitely get my vote. I love this show, and I love the idea of Patty in politics.
Patty for state rep.
but I live in your district, sir.
Well, I'd have to. You might be doing me a favor, Patty, really.
I like having these conversations. I would rather be somebody who can, kind of encourage everyone to participate regardless of their political foundation. You know, if they're conservative or liberal, progressive and Tea Party. I mean, all of that. I want someplace where people feel safe to have a conversation. You know, we've put up with some really nasty language on the Facebook page, which I will always remove. You know, I would never invite you into my living room to talk to me like that. And that's what I consider the Facebook page to be, is a place for a conversation. So calling me the C word and telling me to shut the F up. Yeah, not really what you would do to my, if you would say that to my face, well, then I would probably ask you to leave my house.
Right. And you know, I think that that's important. And again, to go back to the importance of leadership, right? We need to be, and I think that was part of it, was where President Obama spoke about, as citizens, we should demand a modicum of civility in our leaders. And I'm a huge fan of democracy, everything that democracy brings, good, bad, indifferent. And I have developed somewhat of a reputation lately for consistently taking the governor to task. But I will also be the first person when someone says the governor's evil. I say, no, he's not. I defend him. I certainly believe that the governor wants good education for our children, and he wants people who are suffering to have services that they need. I truly believe that. I just think that he has a very different opinion on the best way to go about doing that than I do. And I think that he's wrong, but I don't think that he doesn't care. I don't think that he's heartless. I don't think that he's mean-spirited. And that's where we degrade the conversation, when we start to take someone else's ideas and we associate that with evil or bad. And you hear it often with presidents, whether it's a Democrat speaking of George W. Bush or recently a Republican speaking of President Obama, where they would say he's trying to ruin the country. And that's the most nonsense thing I've ever heard in my life. And the best part of democracy is that we get to have these debates. We get to have these different opinions, and we should always encourage them. We should never demonize someone for having a different opinion.
Right. An ability to have a conversation where you feel comfortable and not going on the attack. Here's what I think, you know, and fine, if you want to say, here's where I think you're wrong, but, you know, it has to be civil. Otherwise, you know, as President Obama was mentioning, you know, you have to give democracy the ability to live up to our standards, the people's expectations. And we all have to have a higher level of political understanding, of being informed and of voting. Representative Martwick, can you hold on the line? Because we're going to I'd like to talk to you a little bit more, because there's some things that have been twirling around my head. There's a lot of voices, and this is the first one that gets out. So.
All right.
More after this on Pretty Late. Thanks. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from San Antonio, Texas, which is great. I love Texas. I just really, really wish I had been able to go to Springfield to be there when President Obama addressed the General Assembly. But joining us is Representative Robert Martwick, who was there today. And I'm guessing one of the things that also struck a chord with you was his comments about money is speech. The Supreme Court's decision about no limits on spending and that there shouldn't be disclosed amounts and things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a core issue for me. I think that is one of the most horrible things that we've done to our democracy. And he makes the point that he's been repeating lately, and it's fascinating when you think about it, that in this current presidential race, there are 150 families who have given more money to all of the presidential candidates than all the rest of the country combined. Wow. And that's just a fascinating statistic to think that that much influence over our political process rests in the hands of so few. That's not what our democracy is supposed to be. It's terrible. Not just the amount of money but the fact that there is little transparency, little disclosure, and you wonder, what's the ulterior motive? What's going on? Who's affecting us? And what is their motivation? It's wrong. I mean, it's wrong, and it needs to be fixed.
Well, the president has never ever hid his disapproval of Citizens United. I mean, his first State of the Union address, he directly wagged his finger at the Supreme Court, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, again, it's really a horrible decision. And listen, the Supreme Court is an interesting body, and you can imagine there are both sides of the political spectrum who will argue it. But I think that that is an issue that really affects everyone. I worked on a bill here in Illinois, a resolution to call for a constitutional convention to look at an amendment to overturn Citizens United. And there were many Republicans who joined the effort because, you know, money is not limited just to, even though it may be more skewed towards the Republicans, there are many wealthy Democratic donors that look to influence elections just as much as they do on the other side of the aisle. So it's not right. It's not what democracy is supposed to be about.
Do you think that's what draws so many people to Bernie Sanders and to Donald Trump at those two extremes? Bernie Sanders has talked so much about how individuals have donated to his campaign. And, you know, Donald Trump has said that, he doesn't need to take people's money. But I'm guessing I know.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly the same. But, I think there's no doubt that the people that are feeling the burn, as it were, that is a core issue for them. And they believe that Bernie sincerely wants to change that, where there is some concern that, that hasn't been addressed. So I think there's no doubt there is some concern there. I think the common thread between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders is two sides of the same coin, which is no matter what your political leanings, people are angry. They feel
they
like
are.
It's not working for them. You know, we had this catastrophe, this economic catastrophe driven by the housing bubble. And who suffered through that? It was middle class taxpayers who had to bail out the large banks. And again, you hear the Bernie supporters complain about that. You hear the Trump supporters complain about that. But there are people who feel that government's not working for them. And so they're angry. And these are two people that just, if you're going to be angry on one side or the other, these are your candidates.
Right. And one of the things that people admire and from what I've heard is that if Donald Trump is this successful at being a businessman, has accumulated this kind of wealth. And this is a question I raised a few weeks ago and about, that he's respected for having accumulated this kind of wealth. And on the other hand, and this brings us back to Illinois politics, Michael Madigan, people say that, the Speaker of the House has accumulated all this power and he's strangling the state of Illinois. How is that his ability to network, to build this kind of this wall of, whether it's power or influence, that seems to be as equally hated as people seem to like what Donald Trump has achieved in his business. Does that make sense?
I get where you're going. It's interesting. Madigan is such an interesting case study. I and as you've heard me say, I ran without his support And in fact, when it was offered, I said, no, thank you. I'll be independent. That being said, I've learned that there are many misconceptions about the man, you know, and the general public perceives him wrong. And I don't say that for any other reason than that's just really the fact of it. He doesn't rule with an iron fist. He's built his power by helping people. You know, his caucus does not support him out of fear. They support him out of loyalty because he looks to find ways to help them when they need it. And they appreciate that. And he's done it to me, well, and I didn't deserve it, but he looked to help me out. And, you know, so you as a member, when your leadership looks to help you, then you feel like you want to help them. That's just human nature. But
so you know, right now there are people yelling at their radios and rolling their eyes and won't believe. And I don't know where I stand because I haven't had the personal experience that you have. But you know, there is definitely this context, this sort of frame of the speaker being, you know, I mean, like some people call him evil.
And you know, the interesting thing to me is that. You know, it's like water off a duck's back to him. If it was me, I would probably want to respond, and I would probably want to reassure people that that's not who I was. There is no doubt I will be happy to agree with people that there is seriously some questions about how much power he has accumulated. But the way he's done it, it's just not an accurate portrayal. It's just not. I mean, it is he has consolidated his power through supporting people for offices and winning those races and helping people achieve the things that they set out to do. And, you know, I can give you so many examples. You know, Speaker was for many years thought as the person who was the Irish Catholic old guy who was holding down marriage equality. He never once took any credit for it, but I will tell you emphatically, if you like marriage equality, he is the reason that it passed. When the time came to push the bill across the line, no one could have done it the way that he did it. So, you know, he wields his power for good as often as maybe people think he does it for evil. But what is evil? It's because he kills a bill you don't like. But what if he kills a bill that you like, but he also kills bills you probably don't like. So, you know, it's a two-edged sword. I don't know. It's hard to explain the guy, but I think he's misperceived by many people in Illinois.
Well, and this does go to, again, the president's speech today, which is be informed, you know, look at the, do some research, you know, don't listen to just one source for news. Don't just listen to me. I mean, believe me, plenty of people already in the last hour and a half have been like, I've had it. But, you know, stay involved, be active. And I want to thank you again, Representative Martwick, for joining us tonight. I'll see you next week. I'm coming down for the governor's address for the budget.
Oh, great. Well, that'll be fun. I'll have some good information for you.
Oh, I like that. That sounds. That
I'm
sounds
putting odd. Together. I'm putting together a plan, Patty. So I'm.
Oh.
I look forward to sharing it with you.
Well, then I'm all ears. I'll be there next week. I'll see you on Tuesday. Sir.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thank you so much. You too. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WG.